Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Esposito on 670 The Score.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California. With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
With the 75th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Karan Amagaji, tackle out of Yale.
Yeah, you could say it's a smart pick there out of Yale.
With the 122nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, our Chicago Bears select Torrey Taylor, punter, Iowa.
By the way, let me just say this once again, punters are weapons.
And then they just traded back in to the draft to make this selection. And they did it for who, Daniel?
I believe they said in my ear that it was Booker, Austin Booker, the edge rusher from Kansas. And it's funny, we were just talking about Mayock. To me, he was Max Crosby light when you watched him. I actually used the phrase, he was the Kirk.
It's Esposito on 670 The Score.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Esposito with you till 3. As you may have surmised by the intro, we're going to talk Bears. All Bears, lots of Bears. Bears draft. It is finally here and finally done. And I would say, and I'm betting you would agree, but we're going to get your opinion. 312-644-6767. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to guess you are too. We can debate the merits of taking a punter in the fourth round. Not just any punter, though. And we're going to talk about the crocodile punter, as he is known. But we will talk about all of the Bears draft picks. We want your calls. We want your texts. 312-644-6767. A night, I think, that historically for the Chicago Bears, as the franchise goes on and as Bears fans look back, I am willing to bet that this is going to be a draft that people look back on, much like we look back on the 1983 Bears draft that had all of those Pro Bowl-type players in there, highlighted by Jimbo Covert. Tom Thayer was in there. Richard Dent was in there. Really the building blocks for that Super Bowl team. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the 1-2 punch atop this draft class with Williams and Odunze is going to be one that Bears fans are going to remember for a long time. But again, we want your ideas, your thoughts, your feedback. 312-644-6767. We've got Sean Sears across the glass producing. We appreciate his time today. We have a great show for you, too. And you heard Peanut Tillman giving the Bears third-round pick, Yale tackle Karan Amagaji. He's from Hinsdale Central. So, of course, what are we going to do? We're going to talk to the head coach of Hinsdale Central. Brian Griffin is his name. We're going to talk about Karan with him at 12:25. In the fourth round, You heard, and I don't have the guy's name, but he was the International Fan of the Year for the Chicago Bears. He was from the UK. You probably caught the accent. He was very excited, and he did a great job of antagonizing the Detroit crowd. Iowa punter Torrey Taylor in the fourth round. An interesting pick. Certainly a guy that you heard a lot about during the college football season because of the struggles of Iowa's offense and also because of just how good he was and what a difference he made for that team. We are going to talk to Iowa's special teams coach, LeVar Woods. We're going to talk to him at 1 o'clock. We're going to check in with Mark Grody as well at some point. But really, we want this show to be about you at 312-644-6767. That is our number. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. 312-644-6767 is the number. And really, I'll give you my thoughts at length if you want them, but really what we are here to do is give you the platform to give us your thoughts. The Chicago sports fan, we want to hear from you. First up, Kevin is in Park Ridge, and Kevin, you are up first talking Bears draft here on The Score. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay, this is from the free agent additions and draft additions from Ryan Poles' previous route, the DJ Moore trade. With him adding DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, he added 37 touchdown passes, 5,611 yards, and 346 receiving catches with those additions. I mean, yep. That's that alone, you know, that should get anybody's offense, you know, from being what we averaged last year passing, 185, you know, so I mean, I control the ball to those receivers, you know.
Yeah, Kevin, no, you're making great points, and we certainly appreciate it. It sounds like you are fully on board with the moves. And listen, the offense, I know we get a little hometown stupid from time to time. We get a little too excitable about what the Bears are doing. But I did exactly what Kevin did as I was getting prepped for the show last night. You look at this offense, your 1-2-3 receivers are Rome Odunze, who was first-team All-American, led all of FBS with 1,640 yards receiving. He is your number three. Keenan Allen, possible Hall of Fame caliber player, you got in a trade. He was technically your fourth-round pick. That's what you gave up for Keenan Allen. Outside of the money you're paying him, which really is irrelevant to this chat, Keenan Allen is your fourth-round pick. And then DJ Moore, who had a wonderful first-year with the Chicago Bears last year. Those are your receivers. They're the best receivers in football in terms of on one team, in my opinion. They are certainly in the team photo, top two or three groups of receivers in football. That's not even counting Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. Kmet, we know and we know well, local kid, obviously has gotten better each season with the Bears. Gerald Everett was the Chargers starting tight end last year, a good weapon, a good secondary weapon for Caleb Williams. I haven't even mentioned Caleb Williams yet. He is your new starting quarterback. He would have been the number one pick in the draft last year. Thankfully, he couldn't come out because the Bears got that King's ransom for that first overall pick from Carolina, and they took Bryce Young. But Caleb would have been the first pick last year. Caleb was the first pick this year. And Caleb, I will stop with the superlatives. I think we know all about Caleb Williams after the last few months. Suffice it to say, he is the most heralded quarterback prospect to come out since Andrew Luck. People mentioned Peyton Manning and things like that in terms of how highly thought of they were coming out of college. I am excited to see what Caleb does. You signed DeAndre Swift in free agency. You already have Khalil Herbert. And offensive line-wise, you're returning essentially the same line, Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Nate Davis, Darnell Wright. Your centers are going to be either Ryan Bates, the guy you traded from Buffalo, or Coleman Sutton. We're not sure which one of those guys is going to win the job, but it really, I expect the Bears to fortify the offensive line, but this is going to be a team that scores tons of points. Tons of points. 312-644-6767 is our number. Out to Oak Lawn next. Bruce is up on the Score Talking Bears. Hey, Bruce. Good afternoon.
Hey, Tug, afternoon. I'm so excited. I've been a Bears fan my whole life, a season ticket holder. This is the best draft we've had, I think, overall in many, many years. And I credit it to the new president, Warren. Mr. Warren, he's got his fingerprints all over this organization. And that was a quality pick, having him as president. And you can see the discipline these guys put through there, an enormous amount of homework, research done. And it's so gratifying to see they're finally coming out of the old traditional habits of this pro scouting into, hey, guys, we're the new Bears, and we're out to win championships, starting with that first pick, Caleb Williams. I love his attitude. I love his work ethic. And the second pick was awesome. And the punter was out of this world fantastic.
All right, Bruce, I appreciate your sentiments, and thank you for the call. I would be, and listen, this is nothing against Kevin Warren. Don't know a heck of a lot about what he has to do with football operations. I would lean more into Ryan Poles and credit him for what they have done personnel-wise. There's only a handful of guys left from the Ryan Pace era. Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, who you've extended, your long snapper is one of them. There's only a handful of others. But this is a roster that bears all of the fingerprints of Ryan Poles. And we could, let's do a shout-out. We heard from Charles Tillman announcing the one Bears pick, the third rounder. Let's do a shout-out to Charles Tillman's former head coach, Lovey Smith, the white-bearded one at times, who got that win for the Texans the very last game 2 seasons ago that gave the Texans, or gave the Bears the first pick, and the Texans then bumped back. The Bears then traded it to Carolina, the first overall pick, which Carolina used to take Bryce Young. The Bears in that draft, or the Bears with that trade, I should say, this is what the Bears ended up with from that trade. DJ Moore, last year's first round pick, Darnell Wright. Last year's second round pick, Tyreek Stevenson, an ascending player. This year's first round pick, Caleb Williams. They still have Carolina's second round pick from next year. And all of that the Bears got just so Carolina could take Bryce Young. And I already mentioned, Caleb would have been the first pick in that draft if he was able to come out. But he wasn't. Carolina took Bryce Young. We all know that the Texans took C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. And obviously, Stroud had the much better rookie season. I will also say Stroud had much better talent around him. So we'll see what happens with Bryce Young. But, you know, we'll see also if this is Carolina's, you know, trade up to get Mitch Trubisky type thing when Pat Mahomes is sitting there in the same draft. It is entirely possible that Carolina fans will be singing that same tune for years to come. We don't know. All we have to know is that the Bears were on the receiving end of that trade. And so far it has paid massive dividends. So all credit to Ryan Poles for that. Caleb at 1-1 was a no-brainer. Odunze falling to them at 9 was fantastic. We will talk about that later and how some weird things had to happen in order for that to happen. And we'll also talk about the rest of the picks. Karan Amagaji, the Yale offensive tackle from Hinsdale Central in the third round. Iowa punter Torrey Taylor in the fourth. The crocodile punter, as he is called. And we also have Kansas edge rusher Austin Booker. But right now we're talking to you. We will talk to the Hinsdale Central head coach, by the way, Brian Griffin at 12:25 to talk about Karan. Right now, let's go back out to the phones. In Grand Rapids, Jim is up next here on Bears Talk here on The Score. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for taking the call. I want to pin down how much cap we have left in case we have to try to buy edge and what our draft picks are for next year.
They are going to have to add from free agency still. So wave two, they are definitely going to have to do that. I will try to find out the salary cap numbers right now. But the draft for next year, they traded the fourth last year, or fourth next year, to get in back into the fifth to take the edge rusher from Kansas, Austin Booker, this year. So they traded the fourth. I just mentioned they have Carolina's second, so they have all of their picks minus the fourth plus an extra second from Carolina last year. According to Over the Cap, and I'm reading this off of the Google machine here. The Bears have $22.8 million in available salary cap space left for this year. That is 12th most in the NFL. So they have room. And let's put it this way. I don't imagine they're going to make a bunch of high-dollar signings. And with what's left in free agency, you're going to probably get guys on one-year prove-it deals. They did that with Ngakoue last year, edge rusher, of course. And I imagine that you're going to be seeing some of that. I would bet that they try to fortify both lines. They really did next to nothing on defense yesterday, right? They traded back in for the edge rusher. You could argue Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa, is a nod to the defense and setting up field position and flipping the field. But I would imagine you'll see depth pieces on both lines and certainly more on that defensive side. And you look at the offense, and I don't want to say it's set because, like I said, I bet they do add offensive linemen here. I mean, the skill position guys are pretty much set. And we'll make that a nod also to Ryan Poles. And we heard him say this is going to be a hard team to make. This is going to be a very hard team to make as opposed to previous seasons.
One thing Mike, I wanted to point out here, I really love that the Bears, with probably their last maybe top 10 pick, a chance to get a blue chip player, go get a skill position player like Romo Odunze. Like, I understand if Joe Alt was there, maybe that changes the calculus, yep. Whatever it may be, best defensive player still there. You wouldn't got a top offensive player and a guy that we've seen the Bears struggle to find with, you know, trying to find Chase Claypool, hoping maybe Allen Robinson can resurrect his career. None of that happens. Their third round pick busts and Bayless Jones, they go get a guy like Romo Odunze. Yep. I love that approach.
Right. That's Sean Sears, our producer extraordinaire, and I am with you. Listen, Romo Odunze, in any other year, I shouldn't say any other year, but he certainly would have been the best receiver in some drafts we've seen recently. Marvin Harrison Jr., we all know the pedigree. We all know his dad. We all watched his dad play for the Colts for all those years. Had a great career at Ohio State. Malik Nabers, LSU, same thing. Great career, great receiver. We're seeing a lot of wide receiver talent just because of how the game has changed. But I read you Romo Odunze's stats as we came in. First team All-American, led all of FBS with 1,640 receiving yards. You saw him make huge plays every week last year in college football. He has already has a great rapport with Caleb. He has a great work ethic. We already know. I mean, this guy, I feel, and I don't want to jinx it, but knock on wood, right? I mean, this seems like a proven commodity, a proven star commodity. And I know, you know, renowned draft guru Mel Kiper Jr., we have heard him say multiple times leading up to the draft that he felt that these three receivers, the three I just mentioned, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Odunze, he thinks all will be stars in this league. And I heard the comp, and I can't remember which draft show it was, because forgive me, I watched a lot of them over the weekend.
It's only been a few, right?
I know, and you know, with all the draft coverage and you're flipping channels and then, of course, listening to the score and all the different things, I forget who said this, but they were asked for a comp of Odunze in the NFL, and the first name mentioned was Ja'Marr Chase. And, of course, listen, if he's Ja'Marr Chase, we will all be doing the happy dance. But the fact that that is the first comp I heard for Romo Odunze at the pro level is amazing, and I am excited about that. I was excited about it before that, but that is a wonderful thing to hear from NFL draft expertise, right?
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Not bad at all.
312-644-6767. I want to sneak one more caller on before we take a break. We have Hinsdale Central head coach Brian Griffin up next. We want to talk about Karan Amagaji. He went to Hinsdale Central, so we're going to talk to his high school coach. Our next caller, Rick and Glenview. So you were at the draft party, Rick, is that correct?
I was indeed.
I saw the quick video for when he actually got the call. It looked like it was pretty exciting and pretty emotional. What was the experience?
It really was, and you know, he's a local kid, so we had no idea where he was going, including himself, until he gets the call, which of course happens just before the actual announcement. So.
Right.
For it to be the Chicago Bears, I mean, we all knew he was going to get drafted, but we didn't know where. and the feeling in the room was just really palpable. It was just such an exciting thing to not know it was going to be the Bears, and then to have it happen, and then to get the call from Ryan Poles. It was electric. The room was just electric, and we were so proud and so happy, and you know, not many people to get to do this, get to experience this, and it was just new worldly for me. And he just handled it so well, and he's such a smart, good kid. I know I'm biased, but he happens to be my step grandson. So, but yeah, just an unbelievable feeling that everybody in the room had, and especially Kieran. He's just worked so hard for it, and so deserving of it, and we couldn't be prouder of him.
Well, and I was going to ask you, Rick, the connection, and thank you for that. So that I have never experienced it myself, and to have it be the hometown team, we saw it a few years ago when Cole Kmet got the Bears call, and yesterday with Kieran, that was wonderful to watch. And thank you, Rick, for checking in. Rick from Glenview, we appreciate that. He was at Kieran Amagaji's draft party in Hinsdale. So we are going to reset here. We're going to take a timeout. We are going to get Hinsdale Central head football coach Brian Griffin on the line. We want to talk about Kieran. He was the Bears' third-round pick, 75th overall, offensive tackle from Yale, the highest-drafted Yale player, and I can't remember since when, but in a long time, 6'5", 325, big dude. We're going to talk to him. Or talk to his high school coach next. That's Brian Griffin from Hinsdale Central. That's coming up next. I'm Mike Esposito. We're going to talk Bears with you for the next 2.5 hours or thereabouts. We want to talk to you. We have a few guests, but really the goal here is to get your feedback on what could be a very historic Bears draft. We'll talk to Brian Griffin next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mike Esposito.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, another good day. Really happy about Kieran, another local guy as well, which is exciting. It was a tough, actually a fun little time for him there as we were coming into that last pick, our 75th pick. We were going back and forth just in terms of best available or position of need with a D-line. We were comfortable with letting it. You know, being patient, letting it play out. D-lineman went right before, and we ended up taking Kieran, which we were excited about. He was the highest guy on the board, so worked out really well.
That is Ryan Poles, Bears general manager, talking about the third-round pick, 75th overall, Yale offensive tackle Kieran Amagaji. To talk more about him, he's a local kid. He went to Hinsdale Central High School. We are going to go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circus Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hinsdale Central head football coach Brian Griffin joins us now. Brian, good afternoon. Appreciate you jumping on for us. What can you tell us as we get started here about the excitement? I'm sure all of your football community at Hinsdale Central has got to be buzzing about this.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks for having me on and giving me the opportunity to talk about him. He's just an incredible man now. You know, he leaves as a kid, but a man now. So,
sure.
You know, everybody was hopeful, right? But you know how it goes, right? You can do everything right and still not get the call. And so I was watching expectantly all weekend, kind of waiting for that to happen. So when he got called, and especially by the Bears, it was just a really cool moment to be able to see that. And then, you know, my phone was blowing up with all the coaches expressing their excitement for him and all that he's been able to accomplish.
Yeah, no, it's great. It reminded me, and we were talking last segment too, you know, we saw it with Cole Kmet a few years ago and now Kieran, and we had TJ Edwards and Jack Sanborn also. It's a lot of local kids on this team. Not that it matters necessarily with how they play, but certainly a cool thing for Bears fans to root for some of their own, that kids there from around here.
Absolutely. And I mean, the Bears are probably more than anyone in the country are such a team that brings the community together and brings the city together. And I feel like as those guys get drafted, it's just even more so, right? There's that connection that now is made between the high school kids now and the ones that have been here before. So it is very exciting to be just a small part of that.
Talking to Hinsdale Central head coach Brian Griffin, talking about Karan Amagaji, the Bears' third-round pick. So tell me a little about his background. I mean, obviously, he went to Hinsdale Central. I know he started out playing basketball, and everything that I read about him, we know the size and weight and everything like that, and he's a prototypical left tackle, really. But I see the phrase raw. So he played basketball, came into football late, and obviously ended up at Yale, which is not exactly a football powerhouse, but what was his backstory there?
Yeah, so I mean, he was just late to the football game. I was just talking yesterday with his O-line coach, and we were talking about how his sophomore year he'd like never been in a stance before, and so he was always a big kid, and you could see the potential, but he had played basketball, he had done other things, and then just came late to the football game, which I think what sets, you know, right, those NFL linemen apart is they're not only huge, but they can move, right? You got to have incredible feet, and I think that's what has been different for him is while the football part has been a work in progress that he had to kind of start slow with, his athleticism is incredible. And his ability to move at such a large body is something that I think kind of sets him apart from a lot of the other people that he might have come across or been compared to along the way.
And I saw also, so he's played multiple positions on that offensive line. At Yale, I know he played a little guard before moving out to tackle. Was he always a tackle at Hinsdale Central, or did he move around there as well?
He was predominantly a tackle. I mean, high school football, you kind of you go with the best you can on a week-to-week basis. So there were times where he needed to bump down if somebody had to come out of a game. But, yeah, he predominantly played tackle, you know, again, because he was so late to the football game. You know, somebody of his size and caliber would have normally played both ways. But just he had so much to learn and get used to on the football field. And I think to see his trajectory from that sophomore year to now, it's just the amount of work he's put in to make himself better speaks to just who he is. And I think you said, they say the word raw, right? It's raw because he's going to work and be better every day. And so I'm super excited, not just because he's a local kid and a former player, but also because I think the Bears got a great, great deal with picking him up.
Sure. No, and you know, listen, 6'5", 325 kids don't grow on trees, right? I mean, that's a very special in terms of size, arm length, all of the other measurables. But you talk about want to and work ethic and everything, and it sounds like you're telling us that is all stuff that Karan already does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was fortunate enough to also have him in class. I teach AP calculus, and he was in that class and, you know, did incredibly well and worked really hard in there. And, you know, I think when you look at a person, right, it's not just the physical attributes they have or what they're able to show in front of you, but what they're willing to work for. And I think survive, you know, going to Yale and getting a degree from Yale and then doing all of those things, like he's going to grind out and work in whatever capacity he needs to find success, which is, I think, a Chicago mentality and a Bears mentality, and one that I think is going to bode very well for him.
Absolutely. Hinsdale Central head coach Brian Griffin is our guest. A few more minutes with him. I wanted to ask you about the Yale thing. So we know he came late to football. How did he end up at Yale? And as you mentioned, I mean, a degree from Yale, and I know a few people who ended up going there, one of whom actually played football, but that is it's a good place to play football in the Ivy League, and obviously a great school.
Yeah. And, you know, every coach that came through would look at him and, you know, have his arms, you know, they talked about his arm length, right, during the draft, and have him put his arms up against the whiteboard and measure him out. And so everybody was intrigued by his size. And right from the beginning, Yale was like, we know maybe he's a little raw, but we want this guy. And so I think that went a long way for him. And again, he cared about academics. His family cared about the academic piece as a very important piece in his development. And so it was just a great fit. And every single year, those coaches would come back when they were on their recruiting trail and just say just how wonderful of a person and a player he was and how much better he was getting. And from his freshman year all the way through his senior year, the coach was like, this guy's going to be something special. His name's going to be called during the draft. Just wait and see. And so I think it was just a great fit for him and where he was at. They knew they were going to have to be patient. But then that patience paid off into an incredible football player.
Absolutely. We're talking about Karan Amagaji, the Bears' third-round pick out of Yale, offensive tackle. We are talking to Hinsdale Central head coach Brian Griffin, and that is so awesome that you had him in class, too. So the smarts factor, too, and we've actually talked to Olin Kreutz about this, too, on the air many times. When you talk about, you know, the importance of line play, it's not just, you know, being bigger and mauling the guy in front of you, but you also have to know, where's the play headed? What's going on? What's my job on this play? What's the job of the guy next to me on this play in order to really understand how the play is supposed to work? And it sounds like this is an area where Karan is great at.
Absolutely. And to not only, you know where you fit in the bigger scheme, but then also be able to adjust and think right when things aren't going as planned or something, because you have to react, right? Like, football's as much about knowing how to execute as it is about reacting to the unknown. And it takes a level of intelligence, and there's different types, right? There's people who just have that a natural ability to respond, and then people who work at it and can think through and process it fast. And I think that's where, if you're maybe behind in terms of experience or physically, compared to somebody else, you can make up for it with that side of the game. And I think he brings both of those things. He's got the raw physical talent and then the intelligence to be successful.
Last thing for you, Coach, and we really appreciate you jumping on, and I know this has to be – heck, I have nothing to do with Hinsdale Central, but I'm a Chicagoan and I'm local and I'm excited by picks like this.
Absolutely.
Right? Have you gotten to talk to Karan? Have you, whether talk or text or anything like that, and how has that what was that experience like for you?
Well, I know he's swamped. I reached out to him through text and just had a short exchange, just saying how proud I am of him and how, you know, I know he's going to rise to the challenge that ahead of him, and that it's a long road, right? The NFL is not an easy road, but that he will rise to that, and I know he will. And he just said, thanks, Coach. And, you know, I know he's getting inundated with a lot of different things, and so maybe once it settles down, I'll reach back out and try to set up a time to talk to him. But, you know, just couldn't be more proud of him. And you see these kids work so hard to achieve their goals. And again, they don't always get to see the full fruition of that. And to see him get to this place, I couldn't be more happy for him. And again, that it's local is even better. So we are super excited across the board.
And I'm sure from a coaching standpoint, and not only just the athletics too, right? You could point to your football guys and say, hey, look at what Karan did, right? Look at the work he put in, but also from an academic standpoint, right?
Right.
This is a guy who excelled in the classroom.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a total package, and there's a ton of different ways to get where you want to go. And at the end of the day, most of those ways take working really hard and being able to push and drive towards your goals. And it doesn't, just because he didn't go to a big time Division I school doesn't mean he can't accomplish those same goals. And you're exactly right. It takes hard work in every avenue of life. And so he's a great example of that.
All right. Well, Coach Brian Griffin of Hinsdale Central, we appreciate you jumping on this morning, and we'll be looking forward to seeing Karan in that Bears uni very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike, for having me on. Go Devils.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brian. That's head coach Brian Griffin of Hinsdale Central talking about Karan Amagaji, the offensive tackle. He was from Yale. He was from Hinsdale Central. He is now a member of Chicago Bears, and the texter points out, and correctly so, the Bears have a long history of drafting Yale players. And Gary Fensick comes to mind immediately, and we'll put Sean Sears on the job of finding the Bears Yale draft picks for you. We'll do a power rankings. We're not to steal from the afternoon show or the Yale draft pick draft. If Spiegs and Danny were here, we could do that. We're not going to do that. I'm just kidding. We are going to find out who some of the other Bears draftees from Yale are. We're also going to talk to Iowa special teams coach LeVar Woods. We're going to talk to him at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk to him about Iowa punter Torrey Taylor. He was the Bears' fourth round pick and a native of Australia, the best punter in college football last year. A bit of a surprise when the Bears took a punter there in the fourth round. We'll talk to him about that and get his opinion on how he fits into the Bears and to the NFL. In the meantime, We want to talk to you at 312-644-6767. The next segment will be all of your calls and texts. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, and more, all now members of your Chicago Bears. So line up those calls, 312-644-6767. What do you think Caleb will do in year one? We want to hear that next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mike Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Y'all saw this situation that was going to be pressure packed as the number one pick coming to this franchise. A lot of people were kind of trying to temper some of those expectations, not as an indictment on your ability, but just to kind of manage some of the pressure. You kind of went the other way, like eight Super Bowls, hit all these goals. What is it about you that doesn't want to duck any of the smoke that comes along with the expectations?
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. Special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck, you know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
Attack it. Caleb Williams, your Chicago Bears quarterback, QB1, baby. He's going to wear 18 with the Bears. So Danny's 13 jersey is going to have to be maybe some tape to kind of edge out the left side of the three to make it an 8. Or he could just buy a new one. We'll figure that out. but Caleb really embracing the pressure. And I don't just like that. I love that. This is a guy, and you know, you will hear from Lincoln Riley, his college coach. We've heard from his high school coach. He was on with Bernstein and Holmes the other day, talking about just listen. This is him. This is how he is wired. He is born for you know this job, right? Quarterback. He's wanted this since he was 10 years old. He's done all of the right things in terms of training. He thrives in the pressure situations. He's had great success in them. Going all the way back to high school, this is a kid coming out of high school. You already knew who he was. After starting in Oklahoma, transferring to USC, and we said earlier in the show, if he was draft eligible last year, would have been the first pick last year. Was not. Comes out this year, the Bears, we'll just call it. They lucked into it, right? They made a great trade with Carolina, and they got really lucky that Carolina was terrible. And we could thank the Carolina Panthers for that. But they lucked into it, right? Caleb Williams, we hope, is a generational quarterback. Let's see how it pans out. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I am super excited to watch what this Bears offense will be next year with both Adunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, etc. Cole Kmet, don't want to leave him out. We want to talk to you. Enough about what I think about it. What do you think about this Bears draft class? 312-644-6767. Let's go out first to Orland Park. Ray is up, and he's talking Bears here on The Score. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. You've been on the radio a lot more lately, so hope to hear you more. So you always
Thanks,
do a good
Ray.
Job.
Appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome. So you're welcome. I feel like this has been Ryan Poles' master plan since the very beginning. I was talking to people like Gabe and Lawrence a year ago saying they're going to go for Caleb Williams. And it just lucked out that he had to pull off some kind of major trade to get him. But with that being said, look at what Poles has been saying from the very beginning. He wants blue players. He wants guys to play right away.
Yep.
And from what he got in this draft, he got blue players. And the offensive tackle they got, yeah, he's from Yale. You just talked to his coach. Of course, he's going to tout him up. But it looks like he's going to be the revolving tackle backup for the two guys they have on that line. And that's fine. That's exactly what a pick in his position should be doing. And as far as the punter goes, yeah, sure, they could have traded down. Sure, they could have maybe picked up a 6th or a 7th and gone to 5th. But then you risk not getting him. But the bottom line is that Ryan Poles got the best player in that position on the board. And that's what he wanted to do. And he did it.
Yeah, Ray, I agree with you. And listen, you look at the amount of blue players that were on this roster when Ryan Poles came in versus the amount of blue players that are on this roster now. All you got to do is name, I mean, the wide receivers, I think all three of them are blue players, right? DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze coming in as the first-team All-American leading wide receiver in college football. Caleb Williams is absolutely a blue player. DeAndre Swift, maybe? Certainly a above-average running back for what is going on currently in the NFL. Montez Sweat, definitely. And certainly you could say Jalen Johnson. You can put him in that category. Jaquan Brisker, right? This is off the top of my head. I'm not working off a list or anything. This is just the amount of talent that the Bears have incorporated in their team. Cole Kmet has gotten better each year. But really, the key players, the only key players left from the Ryan Pace era are the two I just mentioned, Kmet and Jalen Johnson. Both were extended. Both are cornerstone pieces for the Bears. Outside of that, though, this entire roster, the entire roster is different. And I know the NFL changes over rosters quickly, but that's 3 years. In 3 years, there's only two players of consequence still on this team. No offense to the long snapper. I'm not counting him in there. I get it. He has a job to do. He does it well. But I'm not counting the long snapper. So there is lots to be excited about from the Bears and what they have done in this draft.
Pat Manley, if you're listening, we don't mean it personally. We still love you very much.
No, exactly. This is no offense. And like I said, no offense to the long snappers of the world. No offense to Patrick Scales, the current long snapper of the Chicago Bears. I'm merely pointing out that the players that were on the roster when Ryan Pace departed that are key contributors right now to this team are Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet.
It's crazy, though, because like you bring that up, though, Mike, and it's, you know, I expected roster changes to happen. Obviously, his tenure starts with him trading Khalil Mack, but there's some guys that I thought for sure were going to be a part of that definitely aren't. Like, obviously, Justin Fields at one point, I thought that guy was going to be it, Roquan Smith. But even still, this team is in a really, really good spot.
Yep, absolutely. There's no doubt. And listen, a lot of this had to do with the Bears have been, let's face it, below average for a number of years. They had the 2018 first year under Matt Nagy team with that defense and the double doink and all of the heartbreak that went along with that. But ever since then, it's been, all right, is Mitch the answer? And then it was, no. Is Justin the answer? Or first we have to draft Justin. And then we get excited, rightfully so, about Justin based on some of the plays he was making on the field. And then you start to wonder, especially in the last season, is Justin the long-term answer? And despite some great games and some really good traits and some really good Justin Fields is a good guy, right? He's a great guy. He's a good teammate. Goes about it the right way. It just became evident, especially when you are sitting on the first pick in the draft, that he was not better than Caleb Williams. And I hope he has great success with the Steelers and goes on to a long career. But I am very excited to see what Caleb Williams does with this offense. And we were talking, I should point this out too, because we have a lot of texters chiming in on this. 312-644-6767. That is the call-in line, also the text line. Yale offensive lineman Dan Jiggetts. We know him. I mentioned Gary Fentick. He was the one off the top of my head. Mike Pyle is a little ahead of my time, but he was a captain of the champion 1963 team, played for the Bears 61-69, according here. He's one of the top 100 Bears of all time. He was a captain of Yale's last unbeaten, untied football team. How about that? There's something I did not know. Former Bears head coach, Dick Geron. And I hear OB screaming in my ear, Dick Geron, was from Yale. Dick Geron, a Yalie, an Eli, as they call them. Dieter Eiselin, remember him? Briefly, he went to Yale. I think that's enough on our Yale guys. But we're looking forward very much to seeing Karan Amagaji and what he brings to the Bears. 312-644-6767, Elmwood Park. Anthony, you're up next here on The Score. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing? Listen, I'm sorry, but I think I could have taken three of those four pair picks. Everybody knew they were going to take Caleb Williams. And when Roman felt he had number nine, you had to take him. And this punter, this guy's a difference maker. You know, he's your edge rusher that you were looking for, because he's going to put you inside the he's going to put the other team inside the 20, inside the 10-yard line every time. So you've already picked up 10 yards that some edge rusher is going to get you by sacking the quarterback. Also, you're going to have to make an offensive team go another set of downs to score. To score. This guy's a difference maker. My only question was, how good is the guy at number three? I mean, if he's this guy is any kind of a football player, they had a triple-A draft.
Yep. Anthony, thank you for that. And it's almost as if we planted you as a caller, but we didn't. We appreciate your thoughts because our very next guest coming up in a matter of moments is LeVar Woods. He's the special teams coach at Iowa. He coached Torrey Taylor at Iowa. So, Anthony, we are going to take your punting thoughts and your thoughts on that draft pick, and we are going to go right after this quick timeout and talk to the Iowa special teams coach, LeVar Woods. So that will be coming up next. Later on in the show, we will talk to Mark Grody, our Bears reporter. So we will talk to Grody. And mainly, as we've been talking about throughout this hour so far, the first hour of the show, we want your thoughts and your feedback. What is your opinion of the Bears draft? It could be about Caleb or Roma Dunze. It could be about the punter. It could be about the bottom of the draft. It could be about any number of things. The remade Chicago Bears roster, potentially, and I'm not saying for sure, so don't call me a Bears homer, potentially one of the most lethal offenses in all of football. We'll get your reactions to that. We are here until 3 talking Bears. It's Mike Esposito here on The Score. But coming up next, Iowa special teams coach LeVar Woods, and we'll be right back with him to talk about the crocodile punter, Torrey Taylor. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Esposito on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Y'all saw the situation that was going to be pressure packed as the number one pick coming to this franchise. A lot of people were kind of trying to temper some of those expectations, not as an indictment on your ability, but just to kind of manage some of the pressure. You kind of went the other way, like they Super Bowls, hit all these goals. What is it about you that doesn't want to duck any of the smoke that comes along with the expectations?
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. Special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
Attack it. Caleb Williams, your Chicago Bears quarterback, QB1, baby. He's going to wear 18 with the Bears. So Danny's 13 jersey is going to have to be maybe some tape to kind of edge out the left side of the 3 to make it an 8. Or he could just buy a new one. We'll figure that out. but Caleb really embracing the pressure. And I don't just like that. I love that. This is a guy, and you know, you will hear from Lincoln Riley, his college coach. We've heard from his high school coach. He was on with Bernstein and Holmes the other day, talking about just listen. This is him. This is how he is wired. He is born for you know this job, right? Quarterback. He's wanted this since he was 10 years old. He's done all of the right things in terms of training. He thrives in the pressure situations. He's had great success in them. Going all the way back to high school, this is a kid coming out of high school. You already knew who he was. After starting in Oklahoma, transferring to USC, and we said earlier in the show, if he was draft eligible last year, would have been the first pick last year, was not. Comes out this year, the Bears, we'll just call it, they lucked into it, right? They made a great trade with Carolina, and they got really lucky that Carolina was terrible. And we could thank the Carolina Panthers for that. But they lucked into it, right? Caleb Williams, we hope, is a generational quarterback. Let's see how it pans out. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I am super excited to watch what this Bears offense will be next year with both Adunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, et cetera. Cole Kmet, don't want to leave him out. We want to talk to you. Enough about what I think about it. What do you think about this Bears draft class? 312-644-6767. Let's go out first to Orland Park. Ray is up, and he's talking Bears here on The Score. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you. You've been on the radio a lot more lately, so hope to hear you more. So you always
Thanks,
do a good
Ray.
Job.
Appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome. So you're welcome. I feel like this has been Ryan Poles' master plan since the very beginning. I was talking to people like Gabe and Lawrence a year ago saying they're going to go for Caleb Williams, and it just lucked out that they had to pull off some kind of major trade to get him. But with that being said, look at what Poles has been saying from the very beginning. He wants blue players. He wants guys to play right away.
Yep.
And from what he got in this draft, he got blue players. And the offensive tackle they got, yeah, he's from Yale. You just talked to his coach. Of course, he's going to tout him up. But it looks like he's going to be the revolving tackle backup for the two guys they have on that line. And that's fine. That's exactly what a pick in his position should be doing. And as far as the punter goes, yeah, sure, they could have traded down. Sure, they could have maybe picked up a sixth or a seventh and gone to fifth, but then you risk not getting him. But the bottom line is that Ryan Poles got the best player in that position on the board, and that's what he wanted to do, and he did it.
Yeah, Ray, I agree with you. And listen, you look at the amount of blue players that were on this roster when Ryan Poles came in versus the amount of blue players that are on this roster now. All you got to do is name, I mean, the wide receivers, I think all three of them are blue players, right? DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze coming in as the first-team All-American leading wide receiver in college football. Caleb Williams is absolutely a blue player. DeAndre Swift, maybe? Certainly a above-average running back for what is going on currently in the NFL. Montez Sweat, definitely. And certainly you could say Jalen Johnson. You can put him in that category. Jaquan Brisker, right? This is off the top of my head. I'm not working off a list or anything. This is just the amount of talent that the Bears have incorporated in their team. Cole Kmet has gotten better each year. But really, the key players, the only key players left from the Ryan Pace era are the two I just mentioned, Kmet and Jalen Johnson. Both were extended. Both are cornerstone pieces for the Bears. Outside of that, though, this entire roster, the entire roster is different. And I know the NFL changes over rosters quickly, but that's 3 years. In 3 years, there's only two players of consequence still on this team. No offense to the long snapper. I'm not counting him in there. I get it. He has a job to do. He does it well. But I'm not counting the long snapper. So there is lots to be excited about from the Bears and what they have done in this draft.
Pat Manley, if you're listening, we don't mean it personally. We still love you very much.
No, exactly. This is no offense. And like I said, no offense to the long snappers of the world. No offense to Patrick Scales, the current long snapper of the Chicago Bears. I'm merely pointing out that the players that were on the roster when Ryan Pace departed that are key contributors right now to this team are Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet.
It's crazy, though, because like you bring that up, though, Mike, and it's, you know, I expected roster changes to happen. Obviously, his tenure starts with him trading Khalil Mack, but there's some guys that I thought for sure were going to be a part of that definitely aren't. Like, obviously, Justin Fields at one point, I thought that guy was going to be it, Roquan Smith, but even still, this team is in a really, really good spot.
Yep, absolutely. There's no doubt. And listen, a lot of this had to do with the Bears have been, let's face it, below average for a number of years. They had the 2018 first year under Matt Nagy team with that defense and the double doink and all of the heartbreak that went along with that. But ever since then, it's been, all right, is Mitch the answer? And then it was, no. Is Justin the answer? Or first we have to draft Justin. And then we get excited, rightfully so, about Justin based on some of the plays he was making on the field. And then you start to wonder, especially in the last season, is Justin the long-term answer? And despite some great games and some really good traits and some really good let's just call, I mean, Justin Fields is a good guy, right? He's a great guy. He's a good teammate, goes about it the right way. It just became evident, especially when you are sitting on the first pick in the draft, that he was not better than Caleb Williams. And I hope he has great success with the Steelers and goes on to a long career. But I am very excited to see what Caleb Williams does with this offense. And we were talking, I should point this out too, because we have a lot of texters chiming in on this. 312-644-6767. That is the call-in line, also the text line. Yale offensive lineman Dan Jiggetts. We know him. I mentioned Gary Fentick. He was the one off the top of my head. Mike Pyle is a little ahead of my time, but he was a captain of the champion 1963 team. Played for the Bears 61 to 69, according here. He's one of the top 100 Bears of all time. He was a captain of Yale's last unbeaten, untied football team. How about that? There's something I did not know. Former Bears head coach Dick Geron. And I hear OB screaming in my ear, Dick Geron, was from Yale. Dick Geron, a Yalie, an Eli, as they call them. Dieter Eiselin, remember him? Briefly, he went to Yale. I think that's enough on our Yale guys. But we're looking forward very much to seeing Karan Amagaji and what he brings to the Bears. 312-644-6767. Elmwood Park, Anthony, you're up next here on The Score. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing? Listen, I'm sorry, but I think I could have taken three of those four pair picks. Everybody knew they were going to take Caleb Williams. And when Roman felt he had number nine, you had to take him. And this punter, this guy's a difference maker. You know, he's your edge rusher that you were looking for, because he's going to put you inside the he's going to put the other team inside the 20, inside the 10-yard line every time. So you've already picked up 10 yards that some edge rusher is going to get you by sacking a quarterback. Also, you're going to have to make an offensive team go another set of downs to score. To score. This guy's a difference maker. My only question was, how good is the guy at number three? I mean, if he's this guy's any kind of a football player, they had a triple-A draft.
Yep. Anthony, thank you for that. And it's almost as if we planted you as a caller, but we didn't. We appreciate your thoughts, because our very next guest coming up in a matter of moments is LeVar Woods. He's the special teams coach at Iowa. He coached Torrey Taylor at Iowa. So, Anthony, we are going to take your punting thoughts and your thoughts on that draft pick, and we are going to go right after this quick timeout and talk to the Iowa special teams coach, LeVar Woods. So that will be coming up next. Later on in the show, we will talk to Mark Grody, our Bears reporter. So we will talk to Grody. And mainly, as we've been talking about throughout this hour so far, the first hour of the show, we want your thoughts and your feedback. What is your opinion of the Bears draft? It could be about Caleb or Roma Dunze. It could be about the punter. It could be about the bottom of the draft. It could be about any number of things. The remade Chicago Bears roster, potentially, and I'm not saying for sure, so don't call me a Bears homer, potentially one of the most lethal offenses in all of football. We'll get your reactions to that. We are here until 3 talking Bears. It's Mike Esposito here on The Score. But coming up next, Iowa special teams coach LeVar Woods, and we'll be right back with him to talk about the crocodile punter, Torrey Taylor. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.